What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Sorry. Hello. Hello, Devin. You're like, oh, who's that? Well, welcome back. Welcome to 2026. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. We're here.
All right, Devin, what do you got for us this beautiful evening of the first podcast of the new year?
All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be the blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king.
This is Game of Thrones? That's great. Long before I knew what that quote was, well, I don't know if that was long before, but before I knew what that quote was, I found the quote, "Not all who wander are lost."
Which a lot of people have, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, what a great quote for, like, you know, someone who likes to hike and backpack and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I actually have it stenciled on, like, a bag that I had in college. I, like, made a stencil up and then, like, stenciled on with spray paint and did, like, "Not all who wander are lost." And yeah. And then I realized that I was like, oh, it's from Lord of the Rings.
And I knew that. Bit, like most people do.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was a poem about Aragorn.
Yeah, yep.
Which I wasn't aware of.
Yep, yeah.
Or at least, like, now my recent mind doesn't remember it. I have read the books, so
yeah,
I'm sure at the time I knew. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, yeah. What a great quote. I like that one. I was just going to say, I just finished listening to the first book again. Or actually, I didn't finish. Did I finish? Maybe I did. Yes, I did. Because I was, I'm actually listening to the Game of Thrones stories on audiobook. And while I was waiting for, because I've been, like, borrowing from the e-library, you know, Baltimore County Library. Mm-hmm. So I had, like, a couple weeks wait for the second book to become available for Game of Thrones. So in the meantime, I listened to The Fellowship of the Ring. So I just listened to it recently, which is it's great. Like, it's great. I've read the books before, and obviously I've seen the movies a bunch of times, but it's nice to listen to, or, you know, read the books again, because there's so much more there, and characters a little different. And
it's who cool. Who read it? Was it
just someone? The old British guy.
Okay, I kind of want to hear Andy Serkis read it, because he did such a good job on The Hobbit.
Right, right.
You know, his voices are great anyway, but he actually did a really good job. At first I was like, I don't know if I'll be thinking of, like,
you know,
Gollum and stuff the whole time. He's kind of got a funny voice anyway, but then he started and he was great.
Nice, right on.
So I bring it up.
Yeah, it's an older recording, the one that I listened to. It's an older British guy, but it's definitely an older recording.
I bring it up because...
Because
tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, me and Maeve are going to watch all three movies in a row.
Ooh.
In the movie theaters.
Oh, no way. Yes. Awesome. Dang, right on. Has she seen some of them?
She's seen the first one and half of the second.
Okay. All right.
So she dealt with the creepiness okay. But, you know, we'll try. And if she's really freaked out or something, we'll just step out.
Yeah.
You know, and then try to go back in and be like, oh, we're all good. No, you know, I'll know. I'll peek in. Like, it's not a scary part. You know, there's certain parts that are and certain that aren't. So.
Right.
And, you know, she's young. She's 5, but I don't know. I was like watching them. I was like, man. Or I saw that it was coming up. And I was like, maybe I'll go and do it and get some people. But I was like, you know what? I have that whole weekend off.
Yeah.
And Caitlin's home. So I was like, why don't I just see if Maeve really liked it. So I've been, like, prepping her and, like, reminding her, like, who's this? And, like, we know about this. And just kind of the basic story. It's about these friends trying to get rid of this evil thing. And there's some scary guys. But, you know, being like, it's just a fairy tale. It's not real. You know, it's all good. Like, you know, all that type of stuff. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, there are definitely scary parts. So we will see. But in my mind, there's much worse things as you can see in the world. So,
yeah,
a little movie fantasy goblins and stuff isn't gonna, or it might, you know, it could give her nightmares, but a lot of things does. She'll come in crying about being attacked by a rooster in her nightmare. So, you know, at least she'll have something cool to,
right.
Or, you know, or it could be a mistake and I go, well, that's too young. We'll try again in a few years, but I'm gonna give it a shot.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I guess, have you gone to the movies with her before?
Yeah, she loved the movies, so she wasn't, okay. like...
Cool, yeah.
That didn't weird her out, or it wasn't too loud for her, like, she was all into it, so...
Okay, cool. Yeah, so she's been in the movie theater, she sat through a movie, whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah, so she's good for that. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, and she's obviously seen the first one before with you and some of the second ones, so she kind of knows, you know, she knows what the scary parts could come with, you know, the Uruk-hai and... You know, like
the ring race
with Sauron and the ring race and stuff. Yeah, right. Yeah, and she knows you're there with her, you know, like, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, she usually doesn't really freak out about this stuff. So we will see. And like I said, if she needs to step out or she really freaks out, then we'll just leave. I know what happens. I've seen the movies.
Yeah, right. Oh, no. Ruined it.
But, you know, nice. I will just. Or, you know,
it depends.
Yeah. You know, if it's two towers, I'm like, look, when we go have dinner, we'll come back for, what's it called? Helm's Deep. We'll watch that, and then we can go.
Yeah, yeah, right.
The greatest battle of all time. We'll watch that, and then go home.
Nice. Nice, man. That sounds awesome. That sounds fun.
Yeah, so that's going to be, yeah, and, well, the other thing is they're the extended editions.
So, man.
They're long. So we'll try. We're going to give it a shot.
Yeah. You're like, okay, let's go take a 20-minute break and go like run around and play for a little bit.
Run around. You'll go to the bathroom.
Yeah, right, yeah.
More popcorn.
So, yeah. That's awesome. That'll be fun. And what a cool experience like to see them in the theaters. Because I don't know. I guess we saw them in the theaters when they first came out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember them.
But yeah, seeing it again, just the big
screen. And you know, sound. The extended versions, I've never seen them.
Right, yeah.
You know, I don't think they've really been out many times at all.
Right.
To be seen in a theater. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It should be cool. A lot of fun.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah, so what about, like, have you heard about the, what's it, The Hunt for Gollum? The new one they're working on?
Yeah, they're going to start.
That looks pretty
cool. Working on that now.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're all in it, apparently. Or at least, you know.
Right. Yeah, like,
Ian McKellen
and right,
Frodo
and yeah,
they're all that'll be great.
Yeah, that will be because they kind of it's fun. Like they allude to that quite a bit in the first book, where they talk about like what Aragorn's been doing and what Gandalf's been doing and like how like this time between when they like first when Gandalf first tells Bilbo to. Or no, Frodo, to, like, get ready, you know, like, you probably want to leave, you know, whatever. He tells him originally about the ring or something.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 20 years or something. Or, yeah,
something crazy.
Yeah.
Because in the movie he leaves and then comes, like, right back.
I know, right, yeah. He's like,
oh, shit, no, they're chasing you. Yeah, for real. Like, you know, he goes sees what's, I guess not right back, but he does.
No, I mean, yeah, because, yeah, as soon as Frodo, like, so in the movies, Bilbo leaves, Frodo comes to, like, find him, and Gandalf has, like, is there contemplating the ring.
Right.
And talks to Frodo about the ring, and then basically Frodo just goes. You know, like, then. There's no time. I mean, really.
No, I think
like,
there is in between, sure isn't bit, it? But, there is. I thought.
No, there's not in the movies. He basically just goes right away.
Leaves and goes, I have to see about it.
And well, because Gandalf leaves, and he's like, I got to go, and I got to go do some stuff. I guess he does.
And then he comes back after, because he doesn't leave right then.
Right, because he's contemplating what the ring is, and then he comes back and he's like, "Do you still have it?" You know,
that's
and
he's right. Like, I do. He's more panicked. And yeah, then it's okay,
right. You're gonna leave yeah, real. But I don't know like what the time is between that. I guess it's like, yeah, I don't know. I can't remember the movie. Like, it's really fast. The movie. It feels like it's right away.
It's definitely,
you know,
not like, years.
Yeah, but I guess but, it's I mean, some time right
he,
between.
You know, you kind of had to for the movie.
Right.
And but, yeah, they're going to make a movie, which is exciting. And
yeah,
I mean, but they've kind of screwed everything else up with like the Ring of Power and the Hobbit movies. So I
right,
don't know.
Right.
Maybe. But actually, I recently heard that the Hobbit movies kind of got screwed up to a degree because Peter Jackson wasn't involved in the pre-production. Like, he really did come in last minute. Del Toro was supposed to direct it.
Right, yeah.
So, like, a lot of all that stuff was just not what he liked. Like, apparently, like, the goblin scenes and stuff.
Right. Know?
Like, yeah. He didn't like the... Apparently, because I was so pissed, like, why is this all CG? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah,
you have the best, like... effects house in the world, made right. stuff where yeah. you have unlimited money. Why are you uh-huh. doing this?
Right.
And apparently, it was he hated the way all the goblins looked. You know? So then he yeah. just replaced everyone with CG goblins. I was just yeah, like, right. Stinks.
It's like, ugh. Yeah. Know, well, that's good. I mean, that's like, that gives hope to that maybe the, you know, maybe this will be better. And I think also, like, I don't know. Maybe, like, because it's not a well-known story, it gives them a little bit more liberty to do it, like, in a way that's not so full fantasy, you know? Like, just, it will just, be, you know what I mean? But it's like, it doesn't have to have all a bunch of CG and stuff. It's like, they're kind of making up that story. You know, I think there's stuff that, like, Tolkien wrote about it.
Right, you had all those like appendices and little right. short stories, and so
but they're still kind of making it up, you know, like
yeah, fill it in, so. Just tell a good story, like
yeah.
So much of the Fellowship was just a good, I mean, the book's a good story, so they just followed right. that, and I mean, there's not much like crazy CG in that.
Right,
the Balrog yeah. obviously had to be done. The
right,
the river. Thing had to be done, you know, and then yeah. some of the insides of the caverns, but like,
right,
it's nothing crazy.
Yeah, exactly. All the orcs and Uruk-hai were all
yeah. There's not like, you know, huge like magic. There's not much. Yeah. I mean, what does Gandalf do other than set off some fireworks and yeah. light up things? He's right. not. There's no insane like. He's not flying and shooting things, and you know, it's yeah. very simple.
Yeah, and even like. Yeah, I guess the what's it the flying dragon things, you know, what are they called, the Nazgul, you know, they were pretty well done. Like they're supposed to be like dragons, so it's right. kind of like, okay, yeah, there are a couple of them and they have their scene and
yeah and later and then, on obviously in the rest of the movies you had to go bigger and bigger and use them yeah all. But I mean it right. was so well done with all the miniatures and
yeah
the real landscapes and it almost I mean. But I guess we can talk about it more next week, and I will give you my more in-depth feelings about the movies.
And what happened mm-hmm. to Maeve, she made it or not.
So everybody, please pray for me. Wish me luck.
Nice. Right on. That's awesome. Cool. Well, I am so working on a couple new things in the shop. Also, I have my birthday coming up next week. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 43 years old. Yo. On the 22nd, we're going to a place... Yes. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but it's old like
folks' retirement home to yeah. check in.
yeah, that's it. I'll tell you. So Nicole was like, I have this idea to, you know, go somewhere, but she's like, do you want me to keep it a secret or do you want to help plan for it or whatever? So I kind of like contemplated over that, and then I decided, I was like, you can tell me what it is and I can help plan whatever. So. We're going to a place called the Stratosphere Social. So, yeah. Stratosphere Social, it has like bowling, it has axe throwing, it has like an arcade, and it's nice. Like this giant like indoor social club thing. It might have like laser tag too, I forget, but it's got a bunch of stuff. But we're actually just gonna go. We were trying to figure out like what the best, you know, thing was. So we're going to go with some friends and we're going to go down on Monday because it's Martin Luther King Day and I don't have school. So we're going to go Monday. We're going to go bowling and do the arcades and stuff. And then, yeah, have that. So, but I was like thinking about doing the axe throwing and stuff, but it's a little bit later. And I was like, I'd rather just go out to dinner. I was like, well, let's just go do like bowling and, you know, and arcades and stuff like in the middle of the day or whatever, you know, mid afternoon. And then, you know, then we'll just go to dinner afterwards. So, but yeah, it looks pretty cool. Nice. But it'd be fun. It's like, you know, it's like a specifically, it's like a bar, and they actually have some pretty good deals on like some certain evenings for, it's like axe throwing and beer tasting for like $20 or something. So it's like a pretty good deal, like for not all that, you know, not all that much money. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm watching, like, I was pulling up on my phone and I'm watching this like fly through, and they have like a whole area called the backyard, and it's like has like bocce and it has cornhole and stuff, like, and like fake grass and stuff. So it's like they have these different areas inside, so it's a giant warehouse that's like a big like social place. So it's pretty cool. So Nicole found it, and it's in Eldersburg, Maryland, wherever that is. It's like about somewhere down near us over here, east side.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll be doing that. That's going to be kind of fun. That'll be next Monday. As I have this extended weekend coming up. It's nice.
Yeah, where were all these things when we were 20-something?
I know, right, exactly.
Right, you're there, like, were no... I mean, there was like a few bars that I knew of that had like pinball machines, and you get like a shuffleboard, you know, or darts. That was it.
I know. And now you get like the cool, like, there's like what, BC Brewing, which has all the stuff inside, and you know, it's like the the taps where you can get your whatever beer you want. And well, it's, I guess, like the whole, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, right? There's like Top Golf, and you know, like, and the axe throwing leagues and stuff. So there's all this like new stuff.
It makes sense because you have to offer something more to get young people out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're drinking less anyway. There's all these things where they can do connect without having to go to the bar. They don't have to. That's not the only place if you want to go talk to girls.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, yeah.
It probably seems very old school now just to show up at a bar and hope that someone's there. You know, like, they probably I've got guaranteed apps that tell me where people are. And blah, you know, it's like, we just cross our fingers and go, oh, all right.
Let's go out. Hopefully meet somebody.
Hopefully some chicks out.
I mean, you know, that was the thing. Like, they were out, though. The chicks were out there because that's what they had. They were like, what were their options either?
Yeah, let's go meet some people.
Yeah. If you didn't find somebody in college, like, okay, well, then I guess you just, like, go out.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have a friend that hooks you up with somebody or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, bring some girls.
Yeah, right. But no, it's gonna be cool. I'm excited. It sounds like a fun place, and it'll be fun to check out. Like, we were looking at the different, you know, like party deals and stuff, and those get pretty expensive, you know. So we were like, we'll just play some, you know, a round or two of bowling and do some arcades.
You're like, I'll pay for a round.
Yeah, right. But no, it'll be fun. I'm excited, nice. And you know, it's nice to have like a birthday celebration on a long weekend. Get an extra day.
So at Scott's, he was trying to, which you should try to get for your shop, the We Create Laser.
They sent
him that big one for free, just for a couple videos.
Right,
it's like a $2,000 laser. That thing is a beast. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I need a space for it. We got to do like a video on organizing my basement. So I can put like the sewing studio down there and the laser studio down there.
Yeah,
Right now I've got a laser. I've got the laser pecker going out in the shop. It's like 40 degrees out there. Trying to get it, keep it going.
Oh, baby. I saw you made fun of me for talking about the old school heater.
So I did too. What was that? I made fun of you on the post when I talked about the thermometer. I was like, now Devin has something legitimate to argue about when you actually see the temperature. But I did get one of those little things. Well, so I went to Ollie's, good stuff, cheap, and they had a whole bunch of different heaters and stuff. And you know, they're all not like pretty inexpensive, but I just kind of looked through, and then I saw that one. I was like, it was like $35 or something, you know. Or I was like, I'll just get one and check it out and see how it works. Not great, but that's okay. But it's quiet. That's the thing. It's just like completely silent.
It just radiates heat.
It's just a radiator, yeah. And, you know, it's pretty cold out today. It's been kind of mild here in Maryland, but it's cold today. And
cold and windy, nothing
you can do. Right, exactly, yeah. And so I think, like, this evening it's probably down in, like, in the 20s or something, or even maybe even lower. But, yeah, it's keeping the shop warm enough. Like I said, I just need it to keep the shop, like, above freezing in the winter. You know, I'd like it to be floating in the 50 to 55 degree range. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe I can get something. I was, the other day when I got it, I pulled up my truck outside the house and the landlord of my next door, the property next to us, he was out there, and I met him a couple times. He's a good guy, and I was chatting with him, and I pulled out. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I was talking about how the shop's pretty cold, and he's like, no, man, you got to take that back. He's like, one of the, like, a Vivor or, like, you know, go, he's at Amazon or whatever, and get the, he said it's like a diesel heater. He said it works super well, but it's like a diesel generator, basically, heater, and you put, like, the part outside, you know, the motor part outside, and then you, like, use an air duct into the space. Yeah. It works super well. It's like $100, you know, and he said to heat up, like, a little apartment, he was spending, you know, I forget what he said, $7 or something. It's like costs like $7 or $8 to fill up the little gallon, you know, 2 gallon tank on it. And he was filling it up like every 2 days or 3 days, you know. So he basically saying, like, you know, if he was going to try to get like a mini split or something like that, and then, you know, the electric bill of just like running that type of thing is really high. So he's like, the cost of diesel is a lot cheaper. But I was like, yeah, I don't want to have to run like a diesel, like, generator motor heater thing, you know, whatever it is, like,
right,
I don't want to be running that, like, full, you know, all the time behind my shop, like,
right, so. Refilling it every couple days.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, eh. I was like, we got the electricity, like, I'll just plug something in. But yeah, I don't know, so
we'll right see. Or you could do one of those big propane blowers and just turn that thing on when you're in there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, have the radiator to keep a little bit of the bite out of the air.
Right, just keep that
and
going.
And then when you come in, blast that thing so it's just blowing at you.
Right.
You know, so it's just, you know.
Yeah, and if I'm, like, in there working, like, I'm fine, you know, because I'm moving and I'm, like, you know. Sometimes my finger, like, when it has been cold over the last, like, month or so, it's, like, my fingers might get a little cold. But, like, then once I start moving and doing stuff, I'm fine. But yeah, I definitely... I don't know. I'd love to get like a good mini split, but my concern is that it's not insulated at all. You know, the shop's not insulated.
Yeah, you're just
so it's just
throwing,
like,
away all the heat you create.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I figured, like, you know, whatever. It's warm enough. It's like the coldest thing about being outside in the cold is the wind. You know, and there's no wind in the shop. It's just cold. Like, that's fine. I can deal with cold. Because there's no wind, it's fine, you know. So,
yeah,
it works.
But what I was saying about the laser thing,
yeah.
Scott owed them one more video, so we made one about. He's like, I want to put something on a mug, or one of these cups.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well. So he was going to do a collaboratory thing. I was like, that's fine. But I was like, let's try to get something that, you know, something popular that people can see. And then I was like, speaking of fantasy, which actually brought my mind on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Knight of the Seven Kingdom comes out this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that trailer?
Yeah.
It looks great. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it does look cool. I feel like I think I listened to that book or something. I forget.
I think it was just a short little thing that he did.
It's something short, but yeah, with like the bald guy or the bald kid and the guy or whatever.
Like. Yeah, like the. So anyway, that looks. I think it's 6 episodes. Yeah, it does look cool. But it looks really nice. I mean, they definitely put money into it, but it looks like they shot in real places and like really did it well. And the main knight, that actor, whoever he is, he seems very likable right off the bat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah.
So, I was like, let's do that. Say we're making a mug for that. So,
oh, nice.
We found a Game of Thrones map.
Ah.
You know, and put that on it, which it looks awesome.
Yeah, right on.
And And I have one for you because we ended up making three.
Oh, sweet.
With O'Hara on it in the Game of Thrones font.
Yes, that's awesome.
So it's like the map on one side and then O'Hara on the bottom on the other.
Nice. Yeah,
and at first we did it because he was like, well, I said I'd make you a mug so you could have it around whatever, around the shop. And I said, okay, yeah, well, that'll be like the angle that you're making me a mug. And okay. Yeah. And then he did it, but it was like thin outline version by accident. He didn't fill it in. So then he was like, let's do another one. And then he filmed that on the wrong side. I'm like, it's all right. Well, he's like, no, I want to get another shot. It's just so now I have three Game of Thrones O'Hara mugs. O'Hara mugs.
Nice.
So you can have one, and whoever else, Derek or Drew. I don't know who watches it. Probably Drew.
Yeah. So, what type of mug is it? Just like a metal mug or a
It's a tall Yeti like style.
Gotcha.
So right, it's on black with thing. Black with like copper gold showing through.
Ah, nice.
So it actually came out really nice.
Sweet. Heck yeah.
But, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, like, I definitely have more uses for the laser. Like, more than what I can do with the laser pecker. Like, the laser pecker is good for etching, right? And it's good for marking with, you know, doing maker's marks and stuff, which is what I've used it for mostly. I also, I don't know if you saw the reel of me doing the, or the pictures of me doing the Zippo lighter. You see that?
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. So I've been thinking about doing, I have been thinking about getting a Zippo lighter for a while. Like, I was like, I want, you know, like, for whatever, last, like, multiple years. Whenever I see it, I'm like,
I feel like you used to like it.
Yeah, I did have one. And actually, then once I got the new one, then I actually dug around and found my old one and filled that up with fuel. And I was like, oh, it actually still works. It wasn't just, like, bad. It just didn't have fuel in it, which I probably knew. But whatever, I was like, and the flint is like pretty low, you know? So I ordered, the Zippo, I ordered the brass one, which is like the originals for brass. Yeah. Got that one and then did some laser etching on it, which is pretty cool. So it's like using it for like little customization stuff, which has been, you know, cool. And then also the tape measures that I made for you guys for Christmas and all. And that's actually what I'm running out in the shop is another tape measure. Cause I had,
I had the Zippo, put a fan behind it, get some heat.
Yeah. Right. So I had I had the one that I made for everybody and I had the one I made for Dad, but he like put it in our Christmas present bag rather than his when we were all together. And so I had it here and I had an extra one to make for my buddy Andrew. But I didn't do it in time. And then we were going to my friend Kate and Sean's house or whatever. And he was going to be there. So I grabbed the one that I made for Dad and I just gave it to Andrew. And so I'm making another one for Dad. Cause I had one for Brian and my friend Brian and one for Sean, like for Christmas. I wanted one for Andrew as well. So I'm making a new one for Dad, but there were a few things that were a little bit like that I wanted to change from the original. So Dad's going to get like a new version. my original one, I used, like a standard Stanley tape measure, profile to do the design. And then when I went to laser etch them on the 12 footers, I realized that the shape of the 12 foot Stanleys is a little bit different than like the 25 foot Stanleys. There's like a little corner that's bent. It's just like a little bit different. So the design on the ones I made you all guys, it looks fine. But if you like might notice that there's like some space that doesn't like kind of actually fit the outline great, you know? So then the other day I was like, I knew I was going to be doing a new one for Dad. So I went online. I found a good image of the actual 12-foot tape measure. And I did the same thing I did the first time, which is I just took that image, went into ChatGPT, posted it, and said, hey, can you add traditional etching designs onto the metal portion of this, you know, whatever, tape measure? Yeah. Which it did really well the first time. But this time so the first time I just had to do that. And then I took that image and I put it into Illustrator and I like got rid of the Stanley logo and the background. I got rid of everything. So it just had like the designs left over. And then when I put that into the Laser Pecker app, I took that image, because it was like a photograph, and I made it into just a line drawing, like in the actual laser picker app on my phone. So this time I actually like went further on ChatGPT. I did the same thing, gave it an image, asked to put traditional etching patterns on it. Then I had it. I was like, okay, now can you take that pattern and can you like remove the yellow sticker in the middle and remove the background so it's just the design, and did that. And then I was like, okay, now can you convert this design into just lines and not like, you know, because it had like, sure. It made it look like it was actually on the metal, so it had shadows and stuff. So then I converted to lines, and I like, you know, I did a few more things and I got it just right. So fingers crossed. The problem with that is that, not the problem with that, the problem with the thing I've run into is that I think there's a way, but I can't find it, where I can have the laser pecker like, you know, do a preview of the laser on what I'm doing, the preview of the image on what I'm doing.
Right.
But I can't get it to do it. Like, I've tried multiple times, and it will give me, like, I can do a preview, and it gives me an outline. Like, it's just the box, and it's like, this is the space that your design's going to go, right? Yeah. And so that works fine when I'm doing a logo or something, because I'm like, okay, I want it to be here, and that's fine. Like, I, you know, if it's the AOC logo, it's, like, the mountaintop, and, you know, I know the bottom's going to be the whole length of the rectangle, and the top is, like, the top middle of the A or the O. So I can kind of do it that when it's for that type of stuff, it doesn't matter. It's just a rectangle and it says this is where it's going to be. But then when I'm trying to do that on something bigger and more like specific, like the circle of the tape measure design needs to match the circle of the actual tape measure, like perfectly as much as possible, you know, to like fit that and fit correctly. Right. So I had to like, when I did yours, then I did the first batch, I actually used my own tape measure and kind of started the laser and fiddled around with it just a little bit, moving it little increments just to make sure it was set really well. And then I, you know, let it run a few times. So the design on my tape measure is like a little bit messed up. It's like, you know, a little shadow image and stuff, 'cause I was moving it around to get it set. But you know, it's like, I didn't have one to waste except for my own to like run one through to see if it's set correctly. You know? So hopefully the one that's out there, I actually did the same thing again with the new pattern. I ran it on my tape measure, and was out there. That's what was out. Like I was out in the shop for a while and just watching it, and it got about halfway done before I stopped it. And then, started it on the new one for Dad. So now my tape measure has like half of one design over top of the full, like a bad version of the first design. So it's like, it's all multiple things on top of it, but it's okay. Yeah. It just has a story now. Right. That is that's the one thing with the laser, but I have definitely like lots of stuff that I feel like I could do with a bigger laser.
Before. Oh yeah. I sent you it here. Check it out. Watch it. It's the intro to the video. It's just a, you know, cinematic thing.
Oh, nice.
But you get to see it. And it came through so nice because it's black, you know, like the outside paint is black. So everything under it comes out like super like.
Yeah, that is one of the nice things. That's awesome. That's cool? One of the nice things about those like ones that are pre-done like that, where it's like a thing that's designed to use with a laser. They'll often have that outer coating.
Yeah, it's got that. Like, yep. So it burns right through it. And that whole thing like with the. And it, you know, it won't wipe off because you have the paint on the top and the that whole, you know, it took like 15 minutes and it was done.
Dang, nice.
It slowly spun it, you know, and then did it.
Right. Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah, especially like when you're doing that, when it's just like burning that thin layer, you don't have to do like super deep. You know, like when I'm etching on metal, I do like 4K, 100%, 100% depth, you know, because I really want it to bite down in as much as possible. So it goes really slow to make it really like, you know, a deep etch.
Yeah, it looks really good for something like that.
Nice.
But yeah, anyway, cool, so man. Doing that.
Yeah, so that's what I've been like. So the Zippo turned out really good. I was really happy with that. I had, you know, came up with made the design based off of the kind of pattern thing that I've done in the past and did my name on top. And so I have that's the brass one. And then I have a silver one. It's like a stainless steel or whatever. Which when I did a little bit of research on Zippo, I was just kind of doing it when I was thinking about buying one. So Zippo started in like the 20s, I think it was, maybe mid to late 20s, or 30s, I forget. they started the company then, and they were originally all brass. And then when World War II happened, they, you know, were using, like, everything was using brass for the military. So then they switched over to stainless steel, but also all of the GIs in World War II were issued a Zippo lighter.
Nice.
So they all had Zippos, which is pretty cool. And also the guy, the inventor of the Zippo, liked the sound of the word zipper, so he made it Zippo. That was like where the name comes from. But
so someone got rich off of Zippo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Here's the
hey, thing. I need you to provide
traditional Zippo sound.
I need you to make 10 million lighters.
What?
Yeah, sure. And then you'll be the biggest company after that, because everyone who smokes from then are going to use yours because
the coolest one.
Yeah, and it's just they're attached to it.
Yeah.
That was the exactly. One thing that they, you know, cherished. Anybody got light cigarettes, you know, like they all got like a pack of cigs. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. So I was like, you know, I've been, I've enjoyed having it. And it's funny. I was reading some vlog about the Zippos and someone was like, or cause I was looking at, I was doing research on like if they leak, you know, cause when you put lighter fluid in a Zippo, so you have the outer casing, and then you have the inner part of the lighter. So you basically pull the inner part of the lighter out of the outer casing,
right.
Flip it over, and on the bottom, there's like a piece of dense, thick felt. And so you like you use something to like lift that up, and you kind of like lift half of it up. And underneath the felt is a bunch of like thinner wool, you know, and that wool is where you squeeze the lighter fluid into it, and then you just put the flap of the felt down. So it's not like it's fully contained, you know, right. It's just the felt over top of it, but like the lighter fluid soaks into the wool, and then the wick, which is this long wick inside the Zippo, so it actually zigzags back and forth through that wool. So it's like the wool's holding the fluid, and it's holding the wick in that, you know, in amongst like layers of felt of wool, and then that's what, you know, gives you the fuel to light the thing. So
nice.
But it was fun. So I was like playing with it, and I was showing Corinne, and so she was having fun playing with it, doing the little tricks to open it up and stuff. And so yeah, it's pretty cool. Smoking cigs soon. Now she's smoking cigs.
I'm looking at the little measuring tape here. I have it.
Yeah.
And on the back of it, which is cool, which I didn't notice, has a 2-inch measure.
Yeah.
The bottom of the case is 2 inches, and it lets you know that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Isn't that cool? Even though I wouldn't.
Yeah, so if like if you are,
but it's kind of cool. You just it's a quick,
right?
It's a smart thing to go. Hey, let's just make. Can we make it 2 inches exactly? Let's make it 2 inches exactly. You know, someone said that.
Yeah.
Then you know you could. You'll just know.
And if you're measuring in between two things, where you just want to have it like, you know, usually when you measure in between two things, you like you bend the tape measure and you push it.
You're right, because you could take this straight to the wall.
Yep. Straight to the wall and straight over, and that's you just add 2 inches.
Smart. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I noticed that too. I actually noticed it not too long ago on a different one. I have another Stanley, it's a 10 footer, and or maybe it's a 6 footer. It's like one of those thin ones. It's like the actual tape's only like 1/4 inch thick, but it's an old one. It's in a metal case, and it has like red writing. It's like says Stanley in red with black over top of it or something. And so it's a little different. It's not like, I forget what the style is, but it's a cool one. And it's an old one. It's like a vintage one from like the '60s or whatever. And it has the same thing. It's got, it says like on the bottom of it has like 2 inches from edge or whatever, you know, add 2 inches. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I get all this, I got a bag full of like all types of, I had so many like dad things and camping things this year for, you know, it's like, here are things to clamp and clasp and
hooks
and knives and all these like things, which is cool. But so it just makes me think of like what I want to do with camping. And I keep watching these videos or I keep going into it. You know, you always go into like a thing like, oh, that's probably a cheap way to do that.
Yeah, right.
And then you look into the cool ones that you see, the cool versions of whatever is supposed to be the cheap way. And it's still expensive, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
My example that I've been looking at is really cool truck top camping units. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
Where they, like, there's the ones that are just the bed, obviously, like a normal a cab top.
Right, yeah.
But then the pop-up ones from there, you know, that pop straight up.
Awesome.
Aren't they great? So then all of a sudden you have 6-7 feet straight up in the air. Mm-hmm. So you can stand up in your bed and then especially for a shorter truck bed like mine, the mm-hmm. bed part is up top, you know? So you like...
Right, yeah.
You climb up there.
Are you talking about like the camper, the one that sits in the back of the truck? Like a hard camper?
Kind of, but this isn't really... It's like... it's basically like... you think of any truck bed... what do you call
them? Cab. Tents or whatever. Yeah.
No, what do you call
them? Oh, cab. Ones? Yeah, yeah. The cab. The cap. Right.
Cap,
yeah.
Right. So a normal cab. Bed.
Right.
But with a pop-up on top of it that extends over the roof of the truck, too. Okay. You know?
Yeah,
so then
yeah,
you
yeah.
have the full, let's say, 6 to 8 feet of right. the whole, that whole bit. So it goes cool. straight up.
Right.
But, you know, then you end up looking at that stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, it's almost like 10 grand for those. You know, it's like,
yeah,
oh,
right, dude, exactly.
Like, well, I'm not doing that. But I do love the idea of having that.
Yeah.
Because those are relatively light, too. They're right. all under 1,000 pounds in the back mm-hmm. of your truck, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, you're just ready to go.
Yeah.
You pull up wherever you want, you know, whatever is accessible by vehicle. You know, you could go on some real simple roads. Like, I'd never want to off-road with it because it's my main truck and it's mm-hmm. nice. But it would right. be cool to just drive out somewhere with a couple yeah. people and a couple vehicles and be like, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just got to pop it up and, like, let's pull out some chairs and yeah, like, we're there, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's like the... what's it like camper, like with a K or something? They're the ones that have basically like the hard, wide and, you know, wide and deep, but flat, like hard plastic case that you like, it hinges open like a book and mm-hmm. the whole tent is inside and then it hangs like off the side of your vehicle with like yeah, a ladder or whatever.
Those are really nice.
Those are sweet, man. Cause it's all, everything's in there. It's just like, I mean, I guess it's the same thing. It's like it's still a tent, you know, so it's yeah. not tall.
Right.
But, cause that would be cool. Like having the little camper guys that go in the back of the truck is pretty cool.
Yeah. And then just yeah. ready to go.
Yeah. That is sweet. Yeah. I've thought about that too. And also like, Sean has the tent that goes in the back of his truck,
yeah, yeah.
you know, which is pretty cool. So I thought about that too. And his, the one he got, it was like an Amazon special for $60 or something, you know, it was like yeah, really
they're not,
inexpensive.
They're not bad. Yeah. Those aren't right. bad at all. Cause it is just a tent that.
Right. And it's just the top too. It's not even, it's not shaped, even like a bottom.
Right. It's just kind yeah. of shaped to
yeah
your to truck.
With, right. Yeah. And the problem with his is only a problem because he's really tall and he has the 4.5 foot bed, you know? So what he does to solve that is like, he just puts the tailgate down, which adds that extra, like, you know, whatever foot and a half to, you know, to 2 feet or something.
Right.
And then he just sleeps at a diagonal, you know? So his feet are like close to the end of the tailgate, but they're not too far. And right. the tent goes all the way out there.
Right. Know? And so. That's the same, I've got the same bed. So, but I yeah. think it would just be about, I'm shorter than him. So, I think a 6 foot person same, could yeah. lay in there perfectly with
right.
the tailgate down. Because mm-hmm. it's probably almost exactly like 6 feet, so you'd have a tent.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, that's all. It gets too expensive. Then you're, oh, I'm in zone where then you can just get a trailer. Or you can,
yeah.
you know, for 13 grand, then you can just pull up a small trailer behind. You know, it's like,
yeah,
oh.
right.
It's all, I don't know who can buy this shit. It's people, yeah, I don't know. People more money than I have.
Yeah, there was that little like teardrop trailer that was next to us this year at Maker Camp, which was pretty sweet. That guy
those
had
are
a good
cool.
setup. Yeah.
Those are great. But
yeah, you gotta have the money. They're not cheap. Right. They're like 25 grand if you're getting a new one, you know.
No, it's the real nice ones are not a cheap.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
It's like you need, I don't know. There has to be like got to be a better way.
Well, you know, like we talked.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
About the bro drop trailer and like yeah. doing, you know, just getting the little
I mean,
pull behind
two, yeah,
you know,
but you know, we'd still end up we'd put a lot of money into that
yeah,
too if we decided
right.
to build one, but even that yeah. was thousands
I think it's,
of dollars.
I think Pete and Emma, I think, are doing one of
them. Oh, yeah,
I
saw they're doing it.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. So, that's Pete from Petrie Woodshop. Petrie Woodshop, I think it is, something like that. Mm. And, but yeah, that would be cool. Something like that, you know, like, and then that's the nice thing about that is, like, you know, obviously everything is just there. It's all, like, self-contained. You know,
right.
I guess that's the trick, though. It's like, if you're able and if you're, like, handy enough, then you can kind of do it a little cheaper. But you still have to buy that trailer, you know. But then you have to, like, buy the wood and you have to build everything inside and kind of do it your own. So
yeah, it's a whole thing. Just being a tent.
Yeah, you know, it's like I guess the benefit, right, is like they'd be potentially drier. And you can make them warmer, and you can make them cooler in the summer, you know, like, so you can add that stuff to it. But then you still have to find, like, an electric site, you know, and...
Right. Like, Yeah. I mean, but you would have, like, one of those...
Generator things.
Generator things that could create just enough heat or cold to, you know, a fan or...
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it'll just be tense.
Yeah, just tents. You know, a tent is like so affordable, and you know, you get your air mattress and you're nice and comfy.
I'll tell you, I'm jealous of the big tents that the just small houses.
Yeah, the quick up ones. Those are
like I mean, even our big ones still, you know, gotta like do a little bit of ducking and bending, you know. Like if I walk straight in, it's huge. So maybe I'll just do that. Maybe I'll just, instead of 10 grand, I'll just spend $350 on a giant, giant tent that goes up easily, you know?
You're like, I want a big tent because I'm a big guy. I don't want to have to crawl inside.
No, I'm like creeping and crawling. And then, you know, it's going to be four of us in one for a while.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's getting, you know, this year, it's going to be the whole family. So less, you know, for how many, you know, a couple of years, Mae's been going. It's just been me and her in the bed. So now we're going to need a whole other bed.
Yeah. Time to get the big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll work, though. That's cool.
Yeah. So I was just, it's one of those things where you kind of start dreaming about stuff and then looking up price and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Money for this junk.
You're like, I guess I'll just stay home instead of going on vacation. It's cheaper.
Never mind.
Never mind. Damn it.
Really, we should just go, like we said, the boys, like we should just once in a while, just go to a cabin. Pay the $150 or whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to set up, just pay the money and stay in a little cabin.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, and obviously the older we get, you know, you make more money and then it's like a little bit more, you're like, is it really like that inconvenient to pay a little bit more to have the convenience of having it all be there, you know? It's like, I can save a little bit more. Maybe I'll drink a couple, you know, less cases of beer a year or something.
Yeah, you need to just
have
a rich friend to have one, a trailer,
yeah, right.
And then can I borrow it?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually just, my father-in-law is turning 70 this year, and so we're going to go down.
He's got some money, we'll get a trailer.
Well, we're going down to Virginia Beach. They got a camper recently. Nice. Yeah, so they got a little camper, so Mom and Dad have a camper, and Betsy and Dave have a camper. Mm. I think I just got to borrow one of theirs.
Man. That's be nice. And I'm going to go get Mom and Dad's to get that new one.
I know, it's sweet, man. But yeah, so we're going to be going down to Virginia Beach for like a week in March, I guess spring break or whatever, the end of spring break, which would be pretty cool. But yeah, you know, having somewhere to go, staying inside of a big beach house a couple blocks from the beach, that'd be fun.
Nice.
So the other thing I've been working on in the shop is, so I've done the, let's see. Well, here, let's, okay, so I have two things to talk about, and I'll start with this first one. The other day I was working on, these two things are related, so I'm working on a new set of sheep shear knives, and I have, when I first started making the sheep shear knives and posting them, I had several people, like four or five people, mention that they really liked the look of the knives without anything, because I posted them all like when I ground the bevels and stuff, and when it was still no wooden handles. Without anything, without a wooden handle attached. No. So just the metal handle.
That's so, not enough, though.
What's that?
The metal handle. It's not enough.
They are. They're like, yeah, but they're like, you know, they're like 4 or 5 inches, right? So there's like, it's technically enough to have your hand there, and you would have like, you would, you know, I guess you use them like as like the pinch grip, you know, which is what I use like a chef's knife, is you're basically thumb and your forefinger is pinching the top of the blade. And then the handle is there just as like the extra leverage or whatever, you know, it's in your palm. So I had a couple people like mentioned that they thought that would like look nice just like that. So I figured I would do a run of the sheep shear knives like that and just post them, you know, for cheaper on my Etsy store. Yeah. So I've been doing that, but I'm also thinking like, okay, what would I price them out? And I can't price them too low because then that like undervalues the other ones, but I also can't price them too high because I feel like that's like a lot of the time and effort it goes into like fitting the handles and getting the handles really nice.
Yeah. But what are the other ones now? What are the main ones?
$200 or on Etsy they're $220 because of the up charge that they charge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like that's a good deal.
Yeah, right, and that's what I think too. So I was like, okay, well maybe I'll just charge like half price, right? Yeah. Or like, you know, I don't know, $120 or something. And so I was like talking to Nicole about it, and I'm thinking about different things like, what can I do? Like, do I just do it that way? And so I had this idea, and like it was half inspired by another knife maker and half of me just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was like, well, what if I did something with like paint on the inside, like the underneath inside of the handles, you know, so they'd be like a color or something. And I was like thinking about what I could do for that. And then I remember seeing, Joshua Prince made some, like all metal knives. Basically they kind of look like sheep shear knives, but cause they're all metal and the handle is just like a, you know, there's like a bolster area that's thicker metal, but then it goes up into the handle. The handle is just like, you know, it's like curved just like the sheep shears are, you know? So it's like the top is curved and then it just kind of fits in your hand, and it's like thicker cause he's all forging them. So it has more weight to it than the sheep shear knives do, but yeah. It doesn't have any, there's no thickness in the handle. And it's basically the same idea, is that like, not everyone, but like if you're used to using a pinch grip when you're using the knife, then, you know, you're not really like holding the handle, like gripping the handle, you're kind of pinching the bolster area and the top of the blade, and you're using, that's really your control. And he did a run, with some, enamel, like colored glass enamel on the handles. And he did them on like the top and the bottom and everything. He did like the whole thing covered in enamel, just different colors and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that, thinking that was really cool. So I was like, oh, maybe I can do something like that. So I started looking into like how to do enamel. So I like went down, you know, the YouTube rabbit hole, and I'm like, and I know enamel basically is just like, you're just heating up steel till the glass powder like melts, almost like, you know, like, what's it called? Powder coating. But, you know, so you're using like a powdered glass color.
Well, shit, why don't you just powder coat it?
Well, because I don't have, its powder coating is a lot more expensive, and it doesn't look as cool. Yeah, I mean, because I'd have to buy a powder coating like.
But thing. What do you have that can heat up steel that much?
Torches and a forge. So the steel doesn't have to get that hot to melt the glass powder.
Okay, just red hot.
Yeah, and not even that. Like you only have to get up to like 1200 or 1300 degrees. So that's really like just right on the edge of red hot. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well I could do that, and I can like, and I can wrap the blades in like a wet rag and clamp it in my vise or something, and then just heat up the bottom of the handle. And so I'm like doing the research, and then got really excited about it. And Nicole was like, we were kind of looking at, we were watching videos together, and she was getting excited about doing jewelry making with it. So I bit the bullet and bought like a bunch of, enamel stuff. So I got enamel powders, and there's like a adhesive that you can put on to non-flat surfaces, so that way you know, the powders will stick to it. It's just like a liquid adhesive. So you just like brush it on and then, you know, use your little sieve and like tap the powder on, like, and I'm, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking like, it'd be cool. I could do like kind of multiple colors and swirls and stuff. I can kind of create some cool looking designs inside of the handle and the bottom. So like from the outside, it still looks very simple. At least these first ones, that's what my plan is. And just do inside the handle, different colors and stuff. Right. So then like, then I feel like I can charge the same amount potentially, or maybe a little bit less. I don't know. We'll see. Because I'm putting like the art and the time into it to make it something different, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I felt a little different. I was like when people were saying, oh, these are really cool. I like it just like that. You know, I'd like, you know, maybe make some like that. See if people want to buy them. Like I had a couple of people saying that. And I was like, yeah, but I haven't really done much. You know, it's like, yeah, I cut them apart and I grind them and I clean them up and then I sharpen them, you know, and straighten them and I do like some stuff to them. Right. But like the art and the more time and effort went into like fitting the handles nice and then getting the different woods and sanding them and getting them like getting that shape that I designed really well, which I like. And I'm going to make some more of those too. But I figured I'd do this run, but then I was like, okay, maybe I'll do that. And then that way it'll make like, it's a little bit more, you know, effort into it. Not just just cutting it off and sharpening it. Although that's like the part that matters. Cause like everyone that I've either sold or given those knives to, like, love those knives. They're like, they're the best. They are super sharp. They stay really sharp. You know, yeah. They're like, they're really thin. So they cut really well. And like, everyone loves them. Like my father-in-law has one. He loves it. Like, Ethan McCook, he bought one from me and he loves it. And like, when I was posting about them, our uncle Phil, who actually has one of them, like messaged me and he was like, hey, put one aside for me. I want to buy one from you.
Oh, no.
And I was like, and I told him, I was like, well, these are going to be ones without them, you know, without the wood. Cause I had a line. He was like, that's fine. He was like, I'll buy it. He's like, I'm sure if that's like, if it's a design that you did and you like the way it looks, like, I'm sure I'll like it too. I was like, nice. Yeah. So, yeah. So, but I'm really excited to try out, the enameling because I think like the possibilities are really fun for like what you can do. And it's not crazy. Like
you're just going to enamel the inside. So you can't really see it though.
Yeah. But the people using it, you can see it. They can see it, you know? That's the whole point. It's like a detail that's like part of it. But I mean, that's what I said. For this one, I'm going to do the insides, I think, and then maybe some other ones I'll do the outsides or whatever. You know, maybe the whole handle. Right. I don't know.
An interesting pattern for the handle, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Like, can you lay down template?
Yeah.
Tape, yep. And only, yep, enamel certain spots.
Yep. Yeah, so I can like, because
right.
So like,
it would be ribbed or, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly. Pleasure. Yeah, I've seen people do like, you know, they'll have little like paper templates and you basically just put it, and then when you put the enamel powder on, you pour it from whatever container into these little like 1 inch tall or 1 inch wide like cups, you know, red cups with a sieve on the bottom, and then they have a little like metal handle, you know, and you basically hold it over your thing and you just tap the edge of it, so it's putting on like a really fine powder. And so if you have like a template that you put that, then you can, like, I saw people do like little leaves and flowers and stuff, you know. So okay,
well, other than, you know, getting the hammer video done, we should really, once you get one or two done,
mm-hmm,
I'll come, mm-hmm, over and we'll shoot the process.
Yeah.
And at,
yeah,
least get a really nice short done.
Yeah, right.
Because those are things that people love to see. So you, like,
yeah,
from cutting it down,
yep,
shaping it, you know, and then pouring the enamel on it.
Yeah.
And have a really nice. Or,
yeah.
We did do the sheep shear knives one, but maybe we could do,
yeah,
or a short, or we could do it for a quicker video, like a 10-minute version of it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's like, yeah, I agree, because it's like, I think it would be really cool, and it's a different technique. It's something that I haven't done before.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really interesting way to add details to steel and, you know, to knife making things, you know, that not a lot of people are doing. And actually, so after I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, maybe you can do enamel. And I was like, I think you can just use a torch to do enamel. So I was like, let me look up that. And so I did some research, and I'm like looking about it and thinking about it. And then I was like, let me go back and look through Joshua Prince's posts to see like when he did it. Cause I was like, I remember him doing it at some point. So like I went back through and I found it. And on his first post where he did it, he actually thanked Tetsuo, which is Chris Cash's buddy, that like helps him, in, you know, had his house in the shop and stuff with all the power hammers.
Yeah.
Because he did something with it, you know, enameling. And he was like, thanks to Tetsuo for the inspiration for this. Like, you know, it was really cool, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, it's like, it's cyclical, you know, it kind of goes around. Like, people get inspired by other people and stuff. And so I don't feel bad, like, being like, hey, you know, like, I got this inspiration from Jonathan Prince and saw, or Joshua Prince saw what he did and I thought it was really kind of cool, you know, and, you know, and try something like it. So
now, the easiest and funniest way to do it is you just take it, and you know that Insta rubber dip.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Seen those? Just dip them in. just
crack the can. Yeah, tool handles. Dip the whole handle in and pull it out. Like and
yeah,
and you just do that and go. This one's for sale. You know, number 22. If you want this dip, like, you know, it's the satisfying dip of like when you see people do Maker's Mark. You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Just do that. So you just go, you know,
yeah.
Hey, number 15. You dip it. You make a short of you dipping it, going, hey, this one's for sale, $175. Get it now. You know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Post on that Etsy page. Yeah. And that's like, you know, that, yeah, that's great.
You know what I mean? Just do fun. Something like that. Yeah. Just to do the real good ones. Different. But if there's one that, I mean, just to try, it's fun to see it
dipped. Yeah, right.
And to say this exact one that got dipped.
Right. This is the one that's for sale. Yeah, right.
This is number, yeah, just give it an easy number.
Yeah.
Number 22.
And like the thing that I like, I, you know, like, I don't know, like I have this kind of moral debate. It's like, okay, I'm taking something that's like already made. I'm remaking it. And like, but it works so well. Like they're so good. The knives are so good. Like they deserve to be petty chef's knives. Because they're such a good shape.
No one's using them as sheep. No one uses hand sheep shears. It is something that has.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's going to be on a Cracker Barrel wall, it will not be seen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, I can buy them and I get them for $5 or $8 or whatever, you know, like, or $2, depending, you know. And I see them all the time. And so I, you know, I start grabbing them up and like I have. And then, what's it? Stephen DeForest. Like he's like, hey, I got a bunch of those sheep shears, and I was like, gonna plan on kind of restoring them and selling them or do something like you're gonna do. But he's like, I don't think I'm going to. Do you want them? So, you know, like last year, he just brought them up to, brought them to Maker Camp and sold me a bag for like $20 for like 10 or 12 of them or something. You know, it was like a whole bunch of them. So that's why the other day I was like in my shop and I saw the box that I have full of them. And I was like, oh, let me cut another one down and see if I can just like, you know, I'll just do the same thing, straighten them, sharpen them, clean them up, get them all like nice. And then I'll just post them, you know, just the plain ones. Cause people thought they were interesting. And I think that's cool. Like, I just think they need to be used cause they're really good knives. Like I have two of them in my, you know, in our kitchen, we use them all the time. So nice. They're cool. And they're fun to make. Like it's a fun little project.
Plasti dip.
Yeah, plastic. That's it. Yeah, it's like what, you know, like, yeah, it's tool handles. People
use. That's kind of cool because you could do like half and half too. You could do like white and black.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be neat.
Yeah, and I could also like, you know, obviously the dipping is cool, but you could also, I could like, if I had a couple different colors, I could like, you know, drizzle on different things, you know, to get different patterns and stuff or whatever.
But right, yeah. like a web or a crisscross shape.
Yeah, right.
You know, some type of netting that wouldn't just be picked off. You know.
Right. Yeah.
Or, whatever. I was gonna say you could do one color, and then after that dries, then you put like
something else on top.
Ridges or checkers.
The other cool thing too about enamel is that you can do multiple layers, so you could like. You do a layer of enamel, you heat it, you let it cool down, and then you can just like put more adhesive on top of it, put more, you know, enamel powder on and heat it up again. And it'll just like melt right into the first layer. So, you know, it just doesn't, and they don't really bleed. It just, so you can do multiple layers. And, you know, if I wanted to like do something that's like semi translucent, you know, I could do like some clear and then a little bit of coloring. So you get like this kind of transition between stuff and add different layers and, So I think it's that I'm excited about it because it's like the, it's almost, it's the art. It's like painting, you know, it's like I can do kind of some cool looking stuff and I can create it out with powder and color and,
yeah,
and also fire. And, you know, it's like, it's just a, I think it's a, it, I will end up putting time and effort into it. The amount of time and effort that I would making the hand, making the wooden handles. And so then I feel a little bit more justified selling it for like the same price.
Yeah.
You know, whereas before I was like, yeah, I want to sell it for less. And I still may do like ones just like that, but we'll see. I don't know. I think like, you know, I think it has the look that people were really interested in, just like all metal, no wood, but then also has the, like the detail of the, you know,
well, the color. Someone wants a $100 or $150 version. That's when you bust out the plastic dip.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like,
I got a couple wonky ones. The stamps aren't great. These are kind of small. Boom, here's five plastic dip ones.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Special deal.
Rainbow color. Yeah. You can get a set of the plastic dip ones. That's funny. That'd be great. Cool. So the last thing that I want to tell, last like thing that happened in the shop recently, and I've been like out in the shop off and on a little bit, but I was out the other day and I was working on grinding. So when I make the sheep shear knives, I cut them off of the spring because it's like two knives, like a scissor, right? So you cut them off the spring. So now it's two individual knives. At the bottom, and you remember this from the video, but at the bottom of where the blade is, they have this little like metal notch, and that keeps the, when you squeeze them together, it keeps the two blades from going past each other, right? So it's like a stopper. So the little tabs, the metal tabs, they like stop the blades that way. When you squeeze them, it stops when the tips of the two blades are like, are even. So I grind those tips, those things off, because they're like in the transition between the blade and the handle. So I grind those off. And then I grind and shape the end of the handle where I cut it, like, you know, flush off from the springs.
Yeah.
So I was doing all that stuff. I was like grinding and shaping, and I was doing a bunch of them in a row. And at one point, I'm using my grinder, and I hear like a, I don't know, like a pop, like a kung, and then all of a sudden the grinder belt is loose. I'm like, oh crap. And I thought, like, at first I thought maybe my first thought was that the grinder belt broke, right? The belt ripped. But then it's still going. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. So then I thought, okay, well maybe the tensioner knob that keeps the front tooling arm forward on the grinder, that like it adjusts it so I can slide it in and out and change that tooling arm. I thought maybe that came loose and the tooling arm just slid back, which then like, you know, lost tension on the belt.
Yeah.
And so I realized that wasn't loose and I'm like, what the heck? And I'm looking around. And then I realized that the top arm, the spring arm, the actual tension spring arm, mm-hmm. was loose. And I saw in the back that the tension spring had broken.
Mm.
So the spring that holds the tension mm-hmm. on that top arm, that had broken. And I was like, oh, what the heck? So I like looked back there and I saw that, you know, the middle of the spring hadn't broken. It was just, it's one of the hooks, right? So the spring has two hooks on either side, and then the spring, it's about 4 inches, and it holds that tensioner arm down to the body of the Revolution grinder. And I was like, oh, crazy. So I like, so actually I, because I have two grinders, two Revolutions, I just took the spring off the other one and moved it over and was, you know, went back to work, and I had the spring set aside for like a day. And so then I, the other day I was like, I got the measurements and I started looking some stuff up and I was like kind of Googling it. And I was like, well, let me go to Housemaid, you know, I'll see if they sell the springs.
Oh, you had an order.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I went to housemaid.us and I went to see if Brian sells the springs, you know, cause he sells the whole kits and all. I couldn't find the specific spring on his website. So I was like, I'll just take a picture and text Brian, you know? So I like took a picture of the spring and I texted piece Brian. Of
shit, spring broke.
So I texted Brian House, who owns Housemaid. And I'm like, hey man, like, I was like, can you send me the specs for this specific spring, or can you just give me a link for where I can buy one online? You know, cause it's like, it's just the spring. It probably didn't cost like a couple bucks, you know? I was like, and I'm sure like wherever he gets them, I don't know where he gets them, but maybe he buys them in bulk, or maybe he can just say, yeah, it's like, it's a spring that has this much tension and it's this long and it's designed this way. And his response back to me was like, holy shit. Like, that's the first time I've ever seen that happen. So he's like, so never in the lifespan of Revolution Grinders has one of those springs broke, or has someone like, has Brian seen it happen?
Was it on the new one or the old one?
No, the original one.
So, I mean, you do have one of the oldest grinders.
Right. That's what I said to him. I was like, well, I'm pretty sure this is probably older than most people's. And he was like, yeah, you're right. So he was like, don't worry about it. I'll just send you one. So
you're
he's like, in
3 years, you're going to have a lot of angry spring people.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm like his tester. He's probably like, oh good, now I know that, like, and who knows, like, you know, I don't know if he's still using the same, because it was the same spring between the Gen 4 and the Gen 1 that I have, you know, between the two is the same spring. I think it looked like the same thing, you know, it's basically the same shape. So, but yeah, so he sent me one, but I was like, that was crazy. Like when he was like, that's the first time I've ever seen that happen. Like I've never broken a spring before. I was like,
well, we got to get him on and maybe someone else on this crew.
Yeah.
So I haven't talked to him in so long. Just to have a long talk. Every time we meet up at a thing, it's always like,
yeah,
everybody's wheeling. Well, everyone. He's wheeling and dealing.
Yeah,
he's a busy man, so.
Yeah.
It'd be nice just to chat
with him again.
It's been probably a couple of years, you know, since we actually chatted on a podcast.
Yeah, right. Since we did the mashup.
Fun to chat with him again. Well, there you go.
Yeah, so that's that. So obviously,
go ahead.
I was gonna say that was gonna be one of my. I have two recommendations, and that was my first recommendation.
Real quick on the emails, on the Art of Craftsmanship email, you gotta transfer your town, your neighborhood watch.
Oh, Glendon, does that one pop
up
there too?
Holy cow,
so annoying!
It's on the Art of Craftsmanship email.
Yeah, I'll change that
every
over.
Day. I get like. Blink, blink. It's like, can you believe that? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, man.
I know.
And crazy. Everything going on in your neighborhood.
Yeah. It's like, next door Glendon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is super annoying. I didn't realize that was on the Art of Craftsmanship one. I thought, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I'll change that. But, yeah, so recommendations. I have two today. One is housemade.us, Brian House, and everything he's doing. I just saw he just posted or he is like, I saw an advertisement that has come up of fire retardant gloves with the Housemade logo on it. So he's like, you know, forge gloves is like, he's just like, just constantly doing new stuff and trying new things and putting stuff out there and just innovating and making really cool stuff. So check out Brian House over at housemade.us and his crew are making awesome, you know, things for metalworkers. I saw him, he posted something about like, I forget how he worded it exactly, but it was something along the lines of, you know, he didn't have a ton of great direction in his life until he found metalworking. And the metalworking community, you know, and that was like knife making and grinders and stuff. And then it just like made sense to him, you know, it was like, and blacksmithing and all that. So he's really like, just really dived heavily into the whole community and is just making really great products. And he tests them all the time and makes them better and better and better. So that way you're really getting like the best product you can get. And the great thing also about Brian is like the story I just told, you know, I was like, Brian sent us that grinder before he was ever Housemade, you know, it was when he was still Housework and he was a small company and he was just making his own grinders and he reached out and, you know, humble guy and decided to send us a grinder. And then, you know, years later, I just take a picture of the spring and send him a picture. And he's like, no problem. Don't worry about it. I'll send you one. And the next day it was 20 minutes later. He's like, all right, you're all set. It'll be in the mail for you tomorrow. So I was like, crazy. So yeah, he's an awesome dude. And, you know, customer service is number one to Brian. And, you know, so if you're looking, if that's important to you in a company, you know, go and support Brian and what he does at housemade.us. And he also has a great podcast called The Work For It Podcast. You can check that out. My second recommendation, talking about podcasts, is the Triple T Podcast, which is Dennis Tyrell and Jared Sandoval, who we know and love. And they, their Triple T Podcast, they just hit episode number 100. So check out Dennis and Jared. And they shouted us out, The Art of Craftsmanship, for Jared's recommendation on their 100th episode.
Oh, so you pass them back?
Yeah. Well, I was like, I saw that they had number like 100, and then in my Instagram feed when they posted about it, it was like, you know, Triple T podcast mentioned you, and I'm like looking through, I'm like, where'd they mention me? I didn't see it. And then I, like, as I scrolled down, I saw the at, like, in the, like, these were the recommendations for the week, you know? So that's really cool.
Nice.
But yeah, Dennis and Jared.
Speaking of people you awesome talk to.
Yeah.
We should have both of them on.
Yeah, that'd be great. Be sweet. Yeah, Jared is my dynamic duo. He and I, man, we're a dynamic duo. So, long-standing joke or long-standing understanding between Jared and myself,
right. The
dynamic duo. So there you go. So you can check out both of those are great podcasts. And Triple T just hit 100. And there was a quote that they had. I guess I don't know if it's an intro that they got from Jeff Fader, but he was like. You know, he's like, congratulations on hitting 100. You're no longer like Fleabag podcasters or whatever. Because Jeff Fader's always talking about all these like Fleabag podcasters out there who like start podcasts and they don't last and da da da. And they're just like, so he told him, he gave him a little props about like hitting 100 and sticking with it. So,
nice. Hell yeah.
All right. What do you got?
It just disappeared out of my brain. What? I said it earlier, but I'm just reminding people that I think it's going to be great. So, Sunday night, Night of the Seven Kingdoms looks awesome. So, the first episode on HBO. So, I'm really hoping that's good. I think it will be. So, that and I had something I swear I did. But it's gone now. It just disappeared.
I unfortunately don't have Max anymore because it was like part of our bundle with AT&T when we were paying like full price for full internet and everything. And now that we have internet with
Mint,
we do have Mint now. For
you switched to Mint,
but our internet is like Comcast or something.
Mint does internet too, so you might be able to bundle it.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
we'll see.
All those other people.
Yeah, man. I will say that like with AT&T, we always had full unlimited data for just internet usage, and then we would have like a certain amount of data for hotspots, which we did a lot at the house, you know, because we were using the hotspots to do all our streaming and stuff. Yeah. So then, like when we transitioned over. To Mint, I think Nicole posted like set it as like 3 gigs or something of data per month per line. Wow,
why'd you do that?
Because it was like the good deal. I don't know. It was just what it was. But she didn't realize. But then you know it was like 6 days in or something. It was like your data's done. I was like, wait, what?
For what? Unlimited is like $25. 15 gigs, which I find is enough for us.
Yeah, right.
Each is. 20 or 15?
Yeah.
So I think you're only saving like $5 a line, you know?
Yeah.
You might as well.
Right. And that's what we did. So we did like the 3 month, intro, whatever thing. Mm-hmm. And Nicole set that up like prepaid for like the 3 gigs for each phone for 3 months. Mm. So we have like, we just finished our first month. So we got 2 more months of like minimal, which is fine because.
Well, then you can upgrade it. You can upgrade it anytime.
Well, because
you can pay, they will prepay. Let you pay the extra.
Oh, like, yeah.
They'll go, hey, give us the extra, if it's prepaid for, let's say it's an extra $60, just pay it.
And they'll give it. Yeah, we switched next month, we switched, or whatever, the next time. It's like, we switched out to the 15 gigs per line.
Yeah, so, 15's perfect.
And that's what I figured. I was like, well, if I use, like, I used 3 over, like, 6 or 7 days, like, that should be... You know, 15 should be enough to get me through the whole month. And most of what I do is it's like at home or at work is when, you know, I'm using it the most. I think what got me, though, is like using my phone in the shop because I still don't have a satellite internet to my shop. So then I'm using just normal data in the shop, which never bothered me before. But now that actually there's a limited amount of data.
Yeah, I've never run out of we've gotten close. Mm-hmm. Like it has warned us like once or twice before, but I've never run out.
Yeah,
but that's mainly driving to and from work.
Yep.
Podcasts,
yeah, right. So GPS, music, right, exactly. Yeah.
That type of stuff. And then sometimes looking around the internet, but it's usually, you know, everywhere you go is like Wi-Fi. So.
Right, yeah.
And the weird thing about Mint Unlimited at the time when we bought it was saying it's unlimited to a certain amount and then it throttles you.
Yeah, right.
The 15 gigs never throttles you. Like, ever.
Okay.
So yeah. It's almost you're paying more for the unlimited, but you also have the chance of being throttled. Right. Like in weird times. Like yeah, not even right. when you're at the max. It's like, but 15 gigs apparently says it never throttles you. So I was like, just give me this stable 15.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, 15 is the right amount for sure. And it's, yeah, you save so much freaking money.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So we're so far yeah, so
and,
good.
And if, and then good. If you pay the year, right, you get the biggest. If you pay for right. a year ahead, you get the biggest savings.
I think that's what Nicole did. I think she like, she, once we realized what we had, she went in and she like prepaid for like whatever it was or like through right. the end of December.
Cause, yeah, you know, if it's like so. A month, it's like yeah. a certain amount, right? It comes down if you hit, mm-hmm. if you go, all right, well, I'll pay for the whole year, whatever, 200 some bucks a line.
Right.
Then you're just done with it. It's so much nicer just to be done with that shit. And yeah. Only, right. only pay it once and then not be like, hey, what the hell? You know, you're reading your bill every yeah. few months. You're like, wait, why is it? $142. I thought it was $125 last week. You know, and they'll give you some yeah. bullshit.
Right, exactly.
It will not move until next year, and then you can reassess.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, well, we you know, we saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and we went for it. So,
yeah, so far should. So good. If yeah, you have good coverage, good. It's fine. It's yeah, it's good enough. You know, it's you know. People barely talk on the phone, and it has good coverage, and you know, I don't have any issues with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did have, like, so, the issue with, like, the internet and the shop and stuff, I had, Sean had given me, like, an older satellite system that he had, I think Oslo or something was the system, and I tried to set it up in my house, and it was, like, it seemed like it was working, but it wasn't actually working, and I couldn't get it right, and so he came over, and we kind of troubleshot, and I think it just ended up being like it was just a generation too old or something to work with our system or whatever it was. But
yeah,
so I actually need you to send me the link to what you use again because I know you like what you use and I just need something so I can get internet out in the shop as well because I'm out there all the time and I'm always like posting videos and stuff and like doing content from the shop.
Oh, so. The Wi-Fi?
Yeah, the Wi-Fi satellite or whatever it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. So. Send me that again, and I'm
trying to give you guys by the try to get you get by the with a good one.
I know I would have bought it right off the bat, but Sean had one for free, and free is cheaper than not free.
Not originally, you didn't have for free. You guys went. You're like, hey, what should I get? I was like, get this exact one. This one's great.
Yeah,
and I showed up, and Nicole's like, yeah, I bought this other thing.
Oh, right. Well, no. She got a.
You're talking about that? The. I thought you were talking about the router. And the.
So she got the like specific router, whatever, yeah, thing. I forget exactly what it was, but yeah, it, like the I don't know, but yeah, she just got like a. I thought, yeah, I forget. It's been too long now, but I forget what it is exactly she got, but it was like that's just a regular router extender or the router. Like we had to buy the router instead of it, you know, renting it from whatever.
Well, yeah, that's the smart move to do. But then you have to get the. Then the what do they call it? Net internet, like
yeah,
the right. three things or four pods that go around the house that are right. all
right. They're all
and the reason together. I liked the one I had was they're all linked. I know it could go a good distance too, so you definitely can link from. It will link to your shop from your house, so
right?
Exactly. And so the whole area is covered.
Yeah, because even now with the router we have, like sometimes in my shop I'll pick it up. You know, it'll be like, oh, I get a bar or two. You know, but usually it's not strong enough, or then I'll lose it.
But and it'll be good because the ones also they have Ethernet ports in the back too, so you can even hardwire something to that pod. You know, if it was something you wanted to sit or a computer or something.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, and that'll be nice because, like, you know, obviously, I can any like live stream. I'd love to do more live streaming because that would be like good content, and I can you know put it up and so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there we go. So that's new and exciting things happening in the art of craftsmanship world. Cool. All right, you didn't remember what you were going to recommend, did you? In that amount of time,
Got me all worked up about AT&T.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Bunch
of assholes. Yeah, jerks. Yeah, I know. We had been with AT&T for so long. We're like, It's funny, actually.
Same. It was, you know, always have been.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And then you just go, wait, it's always going up. The same thing with cable companies. F them too.
Yeah, right.
I'm so glad we don't have any of that crap now. And people complain like, oh, you know, now it's even worse because everything's going up and you got to buy everything. I'm like, for one, you don't have to buy everything. You buy a few. It's way
you
cheaper.
Buy what you want. Yeah.
And you know the exact price.
Mm-hmm.
And they make up a dollar or two every few years when everyone, you know, is okay, it used to be 15, right. Now 17. Yeah. But, I mean, cable companies, they just straight up rob you.
Yeah, right.
And then confuse you by changing plans every 6 months. So then when you do go to ask questions, everything's changed. So everything you thought you knew about it has changed. And it's all a way to keep people confused and keep paying money. And of course, they won't give any back after they've screwed you for like 6 months. And you've gone, what's gone wrong for like 6 months? And you've been overcharging me. Like, yeah, we can't give that back, though. But if you're a day late, they will... You know, make sure you get it to them right away. But
yeah, exactly.
They cannot, there's no way. They don't have the technology to return money.
Yeah. Fucking assholes.
Oh, it's worse. They are evil. Their downfall, they deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Support small businesses, people like Brian House and Mint.
Mint, apparently.
And Mint.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds or whatever.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. Happy New Year, 2026.
Here we go.
We will we'll be doing some new stuff this year, like we always do, trying to put some cool content out there and more stuff from the new shop. And make sure you head over to YouTube and check out what we're doing over there, the Art of Craftsmanship, and let us know what you think. And encourage Devin to finish up the hammer video so we can get that up. And you can also go to Instagram and follow both Devin and I at the Art of Craftsmanship and at the Art of Camera Guy. See what's happening behind the scenes. You can see what Devin's doing around Scott Shop. You should post some more stuff like when you're over there. I know it's like, I mean, that's like you're the Art of Camera Guy, right? So that's more camera stuff. So you should like show what you're doing. It'd be kind of cool. And, you know, it's, I guess it depends, right? Is it not necessarily related to the Art of Craftsmanship?
I mean, we're doing, Yeah.
And then if you guys want to support the channel further, you can go to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. For as little as $1 a month, we really appreciate the people who are supporting us over there. And, you know, thank those people because they help to... you know, support us and support what we do here at the channel. And then that kind of all goes back into the channel and goes back into what we're doing and what we're buying and updating technologies and stuff. So fun stuff. So we really appreciate everybody who's over there who does support us. And if you're interested, you can go over there too. All right. Otherwise, everybody else, thank you also for hanging out with us. For those people who are listening on whatever platforms you're listening, you can always support us as well by just like giving us a star ranking or leaving a comment in the podcasting platforms too, because that does, it helps to push when people comment and interact with it, it helps to push the algorithm to push you out there. So the smallest thing you can do is just give us a little thumbs up or give some
star rating. One of these days we're going to hit it big. We're still waiting.
Yeah, well, depends on who you ask, right? Because if you talk to my students at school and they're like, what? You got a plaque? You have a plaque on YouTube? That's crazy.
I mean the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know. What are you going to do? You know, you have fun people on. You talk to people. You get to hang out and chat. And
I want to do that and get money. See, I want to do both.
Yeah. One day we'll have it all, Devin. We'll have it all. That's right. Positive outlooks only.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all so much for hanging out with us. Devin, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you all next time.